John, 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2. Let's read verses 15 through 17. Again, 1 John is written to believers, those that are in Christ, those that have made professions of faith. You ever hear that terminology, that you have professed that Jesus is yours? You've professed that you have personally put your faith and trust in the work of Jesus Christ. So that is a profession of your faith in Christ. If you hear those terms, sometimes you won't find that in the Bible, but you'll find profession, the word profession, in the Bible. But you have professed that Jesus is mine, that you have truly believed on his work, that your hope of the removal of sins. That's the most important issue, the removal of sins. The only way you can have your sins removed is by faith in Jesus Christ. Top answer I get all the time: I'm a good person. Your goodness will never wipe out your badness. But boy, the devil sure wants you to know that. And he has succeeded with the world, has he not? And I'll guarantee you there are people in here this morning that somehow you think that your goodness counts. Your goodness will amount to nothing when it comes to eternal life. The only way you can have eternal life is by putting faith in the work of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that met the requirements of God the Father. And so we rejoice in that. But this is written to believers. Now, verse 15 through 17, I spoke of this last week, but I'll finish it this week. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Boy, that's a strong verse. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let me just do a quick review from last week, what we talked last week. Just a simple outline of the passage. I'll go through it much faster than I did last week. Here's the key: don't love the world. You can't love the world and have the love of the Father. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We're going to answer a question in just a second. That's just simple. That's what the Bible said in verse 15. Don't love the world. If you do, you can't have the love of the world and the love of the Father at the same time. All the world has to offer, and boy, the devil makes it glitzy and glamorous: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Again, lust of the flesh. My flesh is my body. You ever hear me say, walk in the spirit versus walking in the flesh? Don't walk after the desires of the flesh. My flesh never wants anything good. My flesh never wants to do right. When I was born again, when Jesus saved me, it didn't change my flesh. Bummer, but I've gotten okay with it. If God would have made me perfect when I was saved, you know what that would require? I'd need to be dead. Because this flesh will not be perfect until I get a new body. You understand? In order to get a new body, this one must die. So I'm kind of happy that God kept me in this body so that I could serve him, but I'm super frustrated by it because I submit to this flesh probably more than I submit to God. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. I see it, I want it now. Boy, and the devil. Media impressions, they can't even count them. You are being bombarded with these eyes. And I'll tell you, the devil has most of the people in this room. You spend more time on your phone than you do almost sleeping. And he has you. He has you. I'm telling you good advice for me and for you. If, and Todd has a flip phone, but he also has a smartphone. But he has a flip phone, right, just because he's paranoid about. Todd works for, I'm probably not allowed to say this, right? I'm not allowed to say this. So I'm gonna undercover, right? He's an FBI. No, he's not FBI, but he works for a government contractor and defense contractor, right? So when you see all these horrible things that are just obliterating people, it's Todd's fault. But no, so I'm gonna get him in trouble. They're listening to us right now. Todd's upset. He's like, "Wow, what are we gonna do?" But so Todd has a flip phone, not for righteous reasons, but because he is convinced that on every app that I have on my phone, that I'm just declaring to them everything. I just wake up in the morning and say, "Good morning, Chinese." And but anyway, where did that come from? I have no idea. It wasn't planned. But the devil wins. Doesn't have to be evil. Just distraction. lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I make life all about me. That's the message of the world. You are important. I told you, embarrassing, and when I was in seventh grade, we did move from that house, but in Sharpie, I wrote on the basement wall, "Steve is the greatest." You know, I was the only seventh grader to put it on their basement wall, but every seventh grader probably thought the same. And the problem is, I was absolutely wrong. But I've struggled with that every day since. I wake up, and if I'm not disciplined, Steve will be number one. Steve will be who I live for. Steve will be why I do what I do. If I do that, my life will be a failure. See, I'm talking eternally. Success is not having a great house, having nice cars, having money in the bank, having a great retirement. That's not success, I'm sorry. It's so temporal. Life is but a vapor, life is but a shadow. But that's how success is defined. God doesn't care what job you have. He doesn't. God doesn't care if you're a CEO. He doesn't. God doesn't care whatever job you have. Just be encouraged by that. But I'll tell you this, if you listen to the world, they will tell you that your job should define you. It's a lie of the devil. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And then remember this. This is why it matters. The world will pass. The world's going to pass. Everybody's going to die. I was just driving the other day, and we had a friend. He was a former brother-in-law that we hadn't been in touch with in a while, and he died. He had so isolated his life that they didn't find him for 13, 14 days. And so his corpse, you know, had begun to decompose. And my heart just broke. And I thought, his name was Steve. Steve's dead. It's so real. It's so real. That one day, my body's going to die. It's as real can be. And the devil, he doesn't want you to think about that. We saw this in Hebrews last week. Most people are terrified of dying. If you know Christ, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It only gets better. And so the world will pass away. What are you living for? Status? Empty. Money? Nice to have. Empty. But why are you here? I will tell you this. Family won't ring the bell. And family was created by God, and it's an awesome thing. I'm not anti-family. Some people accuse me of all kinds of things. But Jesus is way better. I'll be a better dad. I'll be a better husband. I'll be a better papa if I just listen to this. So that's the outline. What matters is doing the will of God. Look at verse 17 again. And the world passeth away, so better not listen to them. That's what this is saying. Don't listen to the world. They aren't going to be standing with you at the judgment. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And then I just had a few questions. I'll run through these questions last week. What is the key to life? Loving God and loving others. I've come through some conclusions. Loving God and loving others. That is what life's about. Jesus said that the first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second, like unto that, is to love thy neighbor as thyself. So those are the two great commandments. He sums up all the commandments. 631 in the Old Testament, he sums them up with just two. Love God and love others. But he also says the opposite of that is loving the world. I finally understand, just so you know, if there is a brighter LED, we're getting it. One, LED is awesome the older you get, right? LED is the closest thing to sunlight. Sunlight's still better. It's amazing. So I can read better with LED. I'm on a bent. But you go to a lot of churches today, and it's this like... See, it's like it's darkness. I don't get it, but I finally do get it. You know what they're doing? They're catering to the world. The world loves darkness. And I sort of get this if there wasn't a Bible. If God left us to our own, I would say, how do I... So if I wanted to catch rats, in my mind, I would say... Well, they love peanut butter. So I'm going to make a trap with peanut butter. And so here's the key. If you didn't have a Bible, I'd say, I want to reach people that don't know God. Well, they love darkness. So I think I'm going to paint my walls black. I think I'm going to make my church dark, going to lower it down, and we're going to rock out for Jesus. Amen? It doesn't mean we're more spiritual if we sing hymns. I want to be clear. So I want to give them credit. They're trying. So obviously they haven't read this book. Because the Bible says that we ought not to love the world. And I will tell you this. What the world needs is the truth. They need us to love them. They need us to be kind to them. They need us just to sit down with them and put our arms around them and say, can I just teach you this book? And I want to show you how great a God there is. And so I get it. I finally get it. But I will tell you this. The more we become like the world, the less effective we are. It doesn't work. You might get more rear ends. You might get more people. But I will tell you this. They won't make a difference. Love God, love others. Second, what is the victorious life? I've summarized. I had a lot of scripture last week, so you have to go back to that. Bringing glory and honor to God by loving Christ, abiding in Him, obeying Him, and bearing much fruit. And the bearing much fruit is spiritual. That's the victorious life. You know, every one of us in this room, we're struggling to make our lives about the glory and honor of God by loving Christ, abiding in Him, obeying Him, and bearing much fruit. But that's what life is about. When we are dead, that's all that matters. That's it. That's all that matters. And in everything we do, we ought to say, how does that bring honor and glory to God? Andy, can I mention what you mentioned to me this morning? Is that okay? It was just some of the best news ever, right? Andy, there's been a division between he and his dad. We could all argue over silliness, right? But it was real, right? Your dad's lost. His dad called him and he just said, I'm sorry, I've been wrong. I can't make up for the last 2 years. You know why it matters, Andy? Because God is honored. And you just might be able to reach your dad for the honor and glory of Christ. It is a big deal. You know what? It's not such a big deal just because there might be more harmony in the family. That'll be great. That's always a bonus. But it's because God's glory is at stake here. And I think for such a time as this, God's put you in that position, and you never forget it. You can't change your dad. You can't save your dad. But boy, you sure can try to love him like Christ would love him. And so I want you to know this. That's why it matters. That's why these last years, 2 years have been so tragic, because the devil just wanted to take your dad to the grave, and he came close during those 2 years. So I want you just to rejoice. It looks like God's moving. Something good happened. And so I want you to know this. Why it matters? The honor of Christ. And so never forget that. Boy, we want to reach people for Christ, but it's God's glory is more important. Third, can we love God in the world and still honor God? Now, here's the question I asked last week. How many noticed I switched? None of you. Here's what I asked last week. Can we love God in the world and be effective for God's kingdom? So that's what I asked last week. So when you preach a two-part message, you get to change it. So I've dwelled on it more. Here's what I asked last week. Can we love God and the world and be effective for God's kingdom? And it's because of the mercy of God. So I just want to tell you this. Jonah, the worst preacher in the history of mankind. Right? Jonah, you know, if you looked up what not to do as a preacher, Jonah. Jonah may be the single most greatest evangelist in the history of mankind. That's just God. It has nothing to do with Jonah. He did everything wrong, but it's the goodness of God. So Jonah loved the world, and he wanted destruction upon them. And it's the goodness of God that overcame Jonah. So yes, can you dabble in the world and still be used of God? You can. But oh, I'll tell you, we didn't hear any more about Jonah ever again. I think Jonah's a believer. I think Jonah will glorify God in eternity. And I don't know what Jonah's the rest of his life was, but you see, yes, you can dabble in the world, and God can still use you. But I will tell you this, He won't use you like He would if you would just dedicate yourself to Him. So now I ask this question, can we love God in the world and still honor God? The answer is no. you understand the difference? Just okay. So I said, can you love God in the world and be effective for God? Yes. Because of the goodness of God. If you declare the gospel and you're just not right with God, God can still use the most powerful weapon ever nuclear bomb. What a joke compared to the gospel, right? I'll say that from now on. But can you love God and the world and still honor God? The answer is no. Because God is honored with a clean vessel. You see, if you came over to my house and we fed you dinner, could you get nutrition from a dirty dish? See, when my daughter comes up, she brings Flynn. Flynn can clean dishes better than Cascade. And you wouldn't know it. I just lick that dish down and... What I have to remember is, don't use that plate again. You know? So Flynn can make it look good. Would you be happy? Would I have honored you if you eat off the plate of Flynn? No, but could you be nourished by the food that you ate? Yeah. You see, you want a clean dish, don't you? You see, the way we honor God is, and it's daily. It's confession of sins daily. It's turning to the Lord daily. It's focused on Christ, focused on God's love, focused on the gospel. You need to come to Sunday school. I'll just tell you this. Next week in Sunday school, because I love this, Todd and I, we meet and talk about it. Next week in Sunday school, maybe the single greatest Sunday school that we've ever had. Not to put pressure on you, Todd, but it's the message that'll be preached next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. It's okay if you're not here. I'll just tell you this. When we were at lunch, I mean, I was so excited about it. I said, you got to teach it this week. And I said, no, stay in the order that you want. It'll change your life. Can we love God and still and love the world and honor him? No. Can God use you? Yes. And then finally, is this saying we cannot be saved if you love the world? Let me tell you how I typically quoted 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I've always had this thought that if you love the world, you're lost. Well, then when I'm getting honest, it is, it's I can't love the world and honor God. Because sin is an unloving act to God. And sin is an act of love to the world. So, am I saying you cannot be saved if you love the world? No, I'm telling you this. It's the worst thing in the world for a Christian. That we love the world and try to love Jesus. I'm glad you're here. You know where I want the hypocrites? Right here. And so that's, you know what? If you are the worst person in this congregation, we are glad you're here. If you just did horrible, terrible things last night, we're glad you're here. Because you know this, we've all been there. I have been the worst person in a congregation before, and you probably have too. Not like we sat there and tried to figure it out. You ever come to church and you know you're not right with God? That's why I love church services. Because you know what? Get right with God. Do what's right. So you can be saved and love the world. Now let's look at this. What I want to do is, what does it mean to love the world? That's really where I didn't get last week. What does it mean to love the world? It means to love the world's ways, to love the world's system. So understand this. The world, it's everything that God is not. The world. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand. Is the world system pro-God? It's not. The world is against the things of the Bible. You understand this? It's coming pretty soon to where I'm going to get in trouble for preaching this book. Now, I need to preach it in love, but I'm going to get in trouble very soon. You understand this? And it's so terrible what's happening with the anti-Semitism, anti-Jewish movement going on in the world. That's because of the devil. It's been way before Hitler. Hitler just happened to be very visible. The devil hates the Jews because when God called Abraham and said, I'm going to start with you, a special nation through whom I'm going to bring the Messiah, and this Messiah will be the Savior of the world. This Messiah is the only way the world will be made right with me. And the devil goes, I hate that. He's hated the Jews ever since. But understand this, and I'll tell you this, I'm so pro-Jew that I believe in a Jewish Messiah. Whenever I meet a Jewish person, I'm like, oh! You know, I could say this. I have been spiritually grafted in. I'm Jewish as well. You know? They don't know what to do with me. But it's just, I tell them this. My only hope for heaven is in a Jewish Messiah. I praise the Lord that he established the nation of Israel, beginning with Abraham. And he established the nation of Israel because he was going to bring the Messiah, and he wanted a nation to be separate so that they would not love the world. You know, that kind of didn't turn out well. But the Lord knew all that. But he did separate a nation through whom he would bring the Messiah so we could be made right. I want you to understand this. Do you know this? One day I'm going to get in trouble because I just read the declaration by one of the world organizations that said, I'm anti-Jew if I say the Jewish people crucified Jesus. Let me just read Acts chapter 2, and I'll preach this one day, and one day I may get in trouble for it. Look at Acts chapter 2. Look, I want to be clear. You know why Jesus went to the cross? So that I could be saved. It was at the hand of the Jewish people and at the hand of the Romans. And so look at Acts chapter 2, verse 23. I'm going to get in trouble for this one day. It says, Hims, Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And Peter's preaching to a Jewish audience. From a human perspective, Jesus was put on the cross by a Jewish nation. But you see, that's not really why. Because it was the determined forecounsel of God that said, I want Stephen Tillery saved. Jesus must go to the cross. Randall, he went to the cross because of you. From a human perspective. See, I love, now this, you'll think this, I love that the Jews crucified Jesus. I couldn't go to heaven without it. It was the most terrible thing anybody can do, but it was the greatest thing that they did. I know, if you're saved, you're like, yeah. If I had been there, I would have been yelling, crucify him as well. See, we love him because he first loved us. To love the world is to love the world system. I'm going to give you five things today. I'm going to warn you. These are my thoughts with the world system. I want you to just take a step back because you're all about every single person in this room will get irritated at one point or another with my next 5 points. I'm not trying to do that. You want to be effective for the Lord Jesus Christ? Stop loving the world. I'm going to try to frame the world for you this morning, and you can agree or disagree with me, but there's five things. First, I want to tell you the world's motto. Here's the world's motto. It's all about me. I am my own boss. I am the captain of my life. My life is about my fulfillment and my self-esteem. It is not. Now, I want to be clear. I've talked about this often recently. Depression's real. God cares about that. That's not me being trying to be insensitive to the needs of people. But I will tell you this. The most important thing you can do is get your eyes off of yourself and get your eyes on Jesus Christ. I didn't say there might not be some help for you, but the greatest help for you is to get in the book. Because the only way you're ever going to be fixed, the only way I'm ever going to be fixed is the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's what the world says. It's about you. It's about your self-esteem. And you are the boss. You're the captain. Nobody should tell me what to do. And you know what we're acting like? We're acting like a three-year-old. And I'm about to go down to Tampa, Florida tomorrow, and I'm about to be introduced to extreme self-focused with my granddaughter, Elia. And I'm going to love every minute about it. Because she will be like, as long as I'm watching her, I mean, as long as she loves to twirl and get dizzy as long as I'm watching her, she'll fall off a table as long as I'm watching. If I laugh, she'll fall off again. Life is all about Elia. Oh, she's about to come into a rude awakening when old Callum comes up here. Oh, yeah, so we're giving her a break, and we're going to remind her, yeah, life is all about Papa and Mimi. And we'll kind of distract her from her mama not paying attention to her every single second, right? And so it'll be good for her. We need to grow up and realize this. Life isn't about me. Life is about God. He's not an egomaniac. He deserves all praise, glory, and honor. He's the one that made you. He's the one that will save you if you'll just believe in His Son that He sent. You focus on your problems, you're always going to be unhappy. Now, you need to address your struggles. You focus on you, you can have an excuse every single time why you don't obey God. And it can sound good. You know what the Bible says? Obey God. It doesn't say, you know, if you feel like it. Grow up if you're saved. You know, I hear it all the time. You know, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You want to honor God, you do. All right, I'll pick this up. Arr. You know, people say, here's what they might as well say. Let me show you my biblical ignorance. You don't have to go to church to be saved. But if you're saved, you want to honor Christ. If you're saved, you want to do what's right. This should not be bondage for you. I do not want people to just to dread coming to church. I want you to understand this. We come to church because He is worthy. And if you don't want to come to church, that should be a red flag for you. And it's okay. You know what I tell you? I don't always want to come to church. Now, since I've pastored, I think I always want to come to church. I don't know. It's just different. It's just different. I love being here. But I've been where you at. I've sat where you've sat. I wasn't always a pastor. 46 years old. Never a pastor. Didn't want to come to church. You know what I did? I went to church. And you might not want to come to church for 3 straight months. Go to church every single time the doors are open. And you know what? You just trust the Lord and you say, I'm going to obey you. You're either right or you're wrong. I'm going to trust you. You're either right or you're wrong. Who's right? You say you do when you don't know what God wants. And you're the one that it hurts. And at the end of the day, when we enter into eternity, there's going to be some eternal awareness that we blew it. It's all about me. No, it's all about Christ. You see, it'll help my marriage if I remember it's all about Christ. And the reason I need to take care of my wife and love her and be gentle and be kind is because it honors Christ. The reason I need to love kids, and I haven't had some of the situations you need. The reason I need to love my kids that aren't worthy of love is because Christ loved you and you weren't worthy of love. See, it comes back to that. The world's motto. Now, the world's lie. Here's the world's lie. Sexual freedom. Nobody can tell me what I am. Nobody can tell me what love is. Nobody can tell me who I love, how I love, where I love, and when I love. Oh, God does. Now, I'll tell you this. We need to love people that aren't loving right. You understand that? I want to tell you this. If you're living in fornication this morning, here's what fornication is. You're living together, and you're physically together, and you're not married. That's called gross, horrible sin. We love you. I'd love to have a Bible study with you. And if you think I'm joking, I'm not. And I promise I'll never mention your fornication. Because you could stop fornicating today and you'll still go to hell. You understand that? See, Christianity is not about being a better person. Christianity is about knowing Jesus Christ and Him personally, and that's why it matters. That's why it matters. I'm telling you, I hear it all the time today. Well, we're married right here. I said, well, then how about let's just go down to the courthouse tomorrow and just put it on a piece of paper just to match this. You can imagine the response. Well, you know, it's super expensive. I'll pay for it. Those are people that claim to be Christians. That's the only reason I press it. And I'll say, look, you can go kid your grandma. And here I am a grandpa now, so I got to change that. You can go kid your great-great-great-great-great-grandpa. You know, but see, I'm telling you this. It is, I want you to know this. We need to love the transgenders. If there's ever a joke from this pulpit, I want you to get on me because I'm not going to make fun of transgender people. You know what the problem is? They're just so far away from the truth, they don't know what a boy and a girl is. And I'm not even going to try to address what a boy and a girl is. We're just going to be in the Word of God, and I want to tell you this. You get in the Word of God, the truth will set them free, and it'll draw them to Him, and they will begin to understand truth. You begin to think wrongly when you're out of this book. I want you to understand this. We're going to love transgenders. We're going to love homosexuals. We're going to love fornicators. We're going to love all these people, and we're just going to teach them the Bible, and then God's the only one that can make them right. I promise you, I'm not here to make you feel like a second-class citizen. I'm just telling you this. It is, you bought the lie of the devil. Everything is about sexual freedom and sex, 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 sex. Okay, parents, for those under 10, I know I probably created you a whole issue, but you need to talk to your kids about it because they're being bombarded already. Those cartoons are ridiculous. You're not paying attention to cartoons? I don't anymore, but I've seen a couple clips of cartoons today, and I'm like, I would be embarrassed to watch that cartoon. Oh, the kids don't understand. Subliminal. The devil has an agenda. I'm just telling you this. It is the world's motto, the world's lie. I want you to see this. The world's plan. And it's just, let me park on the world's lie. Pornography. Pornography, it's rampant in our day. It'll destroy you. It'll chew you up and spit you out. Men and women. And it'll dishonor God. And it'll kill your effectiveness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you this, get rid of your phone. Whatever it takes, it'll destroy you. You see, there's men, I've dealt with them in the name of the Lord. They say, well, my wife doesn't take care of my needs, so I just use pornography. I'd say, oh, the Lord's okay with that? When did he say that? You know what you need to do? You need to honor God, whether your wife meets your needs or not. That's what the Bible says. I have a fear I'm coming across mean this morning. I'm just telling you this. We can make all kinds of excuses to be ungodly. And they sound really good. And you know what? When you're dead, you're going to find out, oh, bummer, I blew it. Because you thought you were smarter than God. Third thing, the world's plan. Dominate through entertainment and peer pressure. Oh, that's the world's plan. So let me just, music, media, amusement, and that includes sports. I didn't say you couldn't enjoy sports. We have some friends from North Carolina, and I asked him if they were born again, and he had a Cincinnati red shirt on. I said, I thought you might be with that shirt on. And then I'm preaching this message, if you love the Reds, you're in bad shape, my friend. Rip that shirt off. Do you have something in your car? Now, I'm not saying that, but you know what we have to do is we have to set our affections on things above. Didn't say you couldn't enjoy the Reds. Really difficult these last 27 years. But it is, do you love it? Are you more faithful? Are you more drawn in? Is it your passion? You see, well, people think, if I ask them about you, so I ask this young man, so I'm not worrying about you guys coming back. So watching me back next week, I'll be like, wow, man, that's a long commute. But it's this. What do people know you as? It'd be a terrible thing if they knew you more as a Reds fan, a sports fan, than a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you this, you're young enough to change that. What are you known for? Last time you'll ever come here again on vacation, right? But it is this. I tell you that because I want you to, I believe you know that. If you're a Christian, you know that. But it is so difficult, is it not? What are we known for? You see, dominated through entertainment. It's video, 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 and they don't have to be ungodly videos, but just distraction. Just distraction. You know, it's just, oh, just wasting my time. Wasting my time. And I wonder why I love the world when I spend way more time on watching videos than I do in the Word of God. And then when I get to the Word of God, I'm like, ugh, like it's boring. It's like I'm going to the dentist. You endure 10 minutes and then you go back to watching your videos. You have to exercise that out of you. You have to just say, I'm gonna discipline myself and I'm going to ask God to give me a thirst for His Word, give me a love for His Word, and give me a hatred and just a disdain for videos, videos, videos. I tell you this all the time. The world's music, the devil has a plan. I don't know if there's a conspiracy theory by the world, but there is by the devil. There is music of the devil. You know what it's about? Everything not about Jesus Christ. Okay? It can be this. I told you I grew up with songs, you know, and I'm not going to tell you songs so they're not ringing through your mind. Right? I grew up with songs and I said, I'm only going to listen to the songs that talk about love so that I can be a lover, you know? Wasn't married yet and was on the prowl. And I wanted to be suave, debonair, smooth. Maybe I'll just sing a song for you. How dumb. Remember, I was 16 years old. God convicted me. He said, you know, why do you love listening to that stuff? I said, well, God, it doesn't say anything bad. He said, but are you thinking about me? No, but God, I think you'd like me to get married. But are you thinking about me? Doesn't have to be evil. Let me tell you, I knew that I had a problem. I turned it off when I was 16 years old. I would turn it off, and then all of a sudden, it'd come back on. I'd turn it off, come back on. My flesh said, oh, no, I love that stuff. I need that stuff. I want that stuff. And I was drawn in. I've told you this before. 19 years old, I went over a friend's house, and I was going to college. I was working full-time, going to school full-time, so I had a break between classes, and he lived in Carthage, so I'd go visit him. About 2 o'clock, I'd have this break, and I told you, I went there, and here's my friend. He was hooked on Days of Our Lives. He was 19 years old, and he was hooked on Days of Our Lives, and I said, I cannot believe you. That is so weird. So when I was hanging out with him, guess who else got hooked on Days of Our Lives? It's embarrassing, right? So it'd be like this. It'd be like, my class was over. Got to see what, I don't even remember their names anymore. I'd run in, because there was no TiVo or any of that. And what happened? And I'd like, well, they didn't show anything, so it's okay. It'll mess with your mind. It'll just mess with your mind. I got attached to the world. Sounds stupid, right? I mean, it's just so embarrassing. I wish it was a joke. I wish it wasn't to be. But I will tell you this. You play with the world. You bring it into your eyes. You bring it into your ears. It's the devil's plan. Music, videos, entertainment, amusement, so you're not thinking. See, this is the plan of the world. It's all about you. Do whatever you want, man. It's all good. It's about you. And you know what? You can't go to the grocery store without the devil pumping his music in you. I'm not saying, you know, I it's just crazy. You can't go to the gas station without that music. You can't go out to eat. You don't think there's a plan? There's a plan. Ignorance is not bliss. It's destruction. Third, fourth, the world's stuff, the things of the world. The things of the world, right? It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's just stuff. I want it. And, you know, I want you to understand this. It is, we live life chasing the next thing. I have declared unto my wife, and I love this. Now, my wife, she does not. Is my wife in here? There she is. I always have to ask. But I love my wife. She's not a clothes hound, so it's not. But she loves to decorate. And you know, I tell you this, I'm not sure. I need to go back and recalculate. So at the beginning of our marriage, I'd say, you know, I'd rather you be into clothes. But I think clothes go out of style faster but we've lived at our house now. We've lived at our house 1996, so 28 years. 28 years this July. Right? Yeah, so she's looking at me. She's mouthing something like, is that mean, shut up? Is that what I saw? No. And so this is not wrong, but we have redecorated everything at least 5 times. Now, no, she said, no. Oh, 4? Oh, absolutely. Oh, I maybe missed one. I think it's 6. So we'll just pick right in the middle, right? And so look, you know what I love? I'm not talking about that. You know, she makes our home special and she makes it awesome. And I'm not talking about that. She's the keeper of home. She's the keeper of the home. I was just satisfied with the style of 15 years ago. But so I'm trying to find this paint that is timeless. No such thing, apparently. And eternal paint, you know. And so you know this, I love it. And I, you know, God wants you to enjoy your home. Don't you leave today and I'll walk in and go, hey, how you doing? 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 Because there's nothing in your house. You said, I listened to that message. And we got rid of everything. You know, and this message is about, do I love Christ? And I know this with my wife. I think she loves the Lord way more than decorating. I do. But I'm not talking about that. We are obsessed with things. With stuff. It'll ruin your life. You'll get in debt over your head. And all of a sudden, the debtor is slave to the lender. That's in Proverbs. And you got to make more and more and more. Now, I want to tell you, today is a tough time to live. It is crazy how much it costs to live today. And I'm blown away when people tell me how much rent is and how much this and that is. And I'm telling you this. So I've never seen anything like it in my lifetime. Things are super expensive. Don't be dominated with money. Don't be dominated with things. That is so easy to do, especially today. I mean, I am so out of touch. I haven't gone grocery shopping in a long time. And I gave my wife a price with something, and she goes, that's 22 years ago. And I'm like, well, you know, because I was like, I don't know. And so it's just crazy, right? I love eggs. Man, eggs are just a fortune anymore. And so now I know why you guys are having chicken coops in your backyard, right? And that's not a joke. Some of you guys have chicken coops. Not sharing your eggs with the pastor, but but I'll tell you this. You'll get sucked in, and you'll spend the rest of your life, and you'll be an old man and an old woman, and you didn't love Christ. Fifth thing, probably the most controversial, the world's beverage. It's alcohol. You want to tell you this. I'm just telling you what will distract you from the world. You want to be a friend of the world? You got to drink that. I'm not going to be hateful about it. I used to be hateful about it many years ago, and God rebuked me of it. I'm just telling you this. Just wake up and realize this. You want to separate from the world? That's the easiest way. Deanna's got a business trip this week. You pray for her Tuesday through Thursday. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. You're stressed about it. Yes? Because she's already got invites. Hey, let's go grab a beer. Let's go grab a beer, a beer, a beer, a beer, a beer. Everything's around a beer, a beer, a beer, a beer. Hey, a beer, a beer. You know, like, and so, so Deanna's going to drink this week. No, but sometimes it'd be easier. So then you're like, well, how do I address that, right? It'd just be good. Say, no, I don't drink. If you think that'll satisfy the world, wake up. I've been out of the business world for 12 years. I told folks this all the time. I was in my 40s, and these guys, I'd go on business trips, and they'd go, oh, come on, just one little drink. I'd look at these guys and I'd go, do you know how old I am? I go, you know, I haven't started now, so I don't think I'm going to start. I mean, but it opened up doors. Once I got comfortable with it, you got to get comfortable with it, right? I mean, I told you I was on this business trip. We were having some celebration in Puerto Rico, and, you know, we spend more on the celebration than do the project. And so it was about 20 of us, ridiculous meal, and I was the only one that didn't drink. I didn't make an issue of it at all. I didn't say Coke Light, you know, I didn't. But everybody else wanted to make an issue of it. And I just said, oh, I'm just a dry guy. I don't drink. And I just like to keep my wits with me. You know, just trying everything I could. I wasn't there to shove things down their throat. After about 10 minutes, I mean, everybody around the table was just pressing me. I said, do you really want to know? They said, yeah, we do. I said, because I think it's sin. And I said, but I want you to know this. You can stop drinking right now, and it won't make you right with God. But you see, I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And I need to have my wits with me, because I'm never off duty. And I said, I don't need it. I don't want it. And I said, for you, you don't know him. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. I said, for me, I have a reason I'm living. It's for Jesus. I don't want it. I don't need it. You can have it. I promise you this. Alcohol will not be an eternity, because alcohol is a putrefaction. It's a rottening. It's a deadening of the grape, of the barley. And there'll be no rottening. There'll be no putrefaction. There'll be no death in eternity. Jesus even made it clear when he said about the Lord's Supper, he said, I will not drink this henceforth until I drink it new with you. You see, the word wine in the Bible, just for some of you, you understand this, that language is based primarily in Latin, and you understand this, that remember what the old V used to look like in Latin? A W. Do you know what wine used to be? Vine, fruit of the vine. And when we brought it over into English, we just said, W. Wine, it just means fruit of the vine. I told you might be irritated with me. I want you to tell you this. This will ruin your life. Make life all about you. Not interested in what God has to say about anything. Be dominated with entertainment, music, videos, all that. Peer pressure. Stuff and alcohol. Now, I want to tell you this. I finished with this last week. If you conclude your life, is not where it should be for the Lord Jesus Christ, here's two responses. Three, I guess. First, are you saved? Nothing matters if you're not born again. Nothing matters if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about a prayer you said one time. It's about this. Oh God, please, please, you repent. You turn from your sins and you turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you turn in faith believing on Him. There's no words. It's from the heart. What will happen is words will follow true salvation and you will confess Him. Are you saved? It's the only reason why loving the world matters. If you're lost, go for the gusto. Oh yeah, and that's a beer slogan as well. Right? That's what it was when I grew up. Go for the gusto. And when I would watch that during sports things, because all I wanted to do was be a man. You know what they're telling me? Be a man. You drink. Lie of the devil. More marriages are destroyed than helped with alcohol. More people are killed on the road with alcohol than not alcohol. Nothing good comes from alcohol, but I just tell you this. First, are you saved? If you're saved, then it matters that we not love the world. It just matters. If you're not saved, you need to examine your heart. You need your sins removed, and it only comes through faith in Christ. Secondly, you could choose two paths. I talked about this last week. You can establish all kinds of rules to eliminate the world. It's not what God would have you to do. That's the Pharisees. You understand this? If I preach the message to the Pharisees, they'd be like, we got the rules taken care of, Pastor. You just need to get down these 40 volumes, 600 pages each, and they're the rules. Follow the rules. That's not what God wants. He wants you to follow Christ. You could make that choice today. Now, the Bible does say, make no provision for the flesh, so I want you to understand this. When the Bible says, love not the world, this is things outside of His commandments. You understand that? So, this is where, you know why we got in that fuzzy stuff? Because there's not a Bible verse that says, thou shalt not drink strong drink. Now, I could show you in the Scriptures, and I'm convinced it's the message of the Bible. It's the principle of the Bible. But there's not a Bible verse that says, be not drunk. And so, here's what I believe. You know what drunk is? Anytime your judgment's impaired. Because, I've had Christians, they go, well, I've never been drunk. I said, oh, that's so awesome. I said, tell me what God told you was the blood alcohol level that's not drunk. Oh, He didn't. You drink one beer, you're impaired. Oh, you don't think so? I can hold my beer, man. Your judgment's impaired. I've asked people this all the time. And so I'm picking on that one because I know it's the most sensitive. And I don't know why I'm just that way. If I found a little button I could push on my sisters, king, 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 king. And I'm just telling you this. I want you to say, how much do I love God? It's not about rules. Here's what I believe. If I love the Lord right, it'll squeeze out all the bad. The people I look up to the most, they have less of the world in them, and they don't have rules. They love God so much, they don't want anything to do with the world. I want to be like Jesus. Criticism they gave Jesus was that He ate with drunkards. He ate with sinners. Eat with them. Reach them. Don't be like them. We're not better than them. They don't know Christ. We don't have to be like them to reach them. You know what we need to do? Love them. It is not worth beating people up about their sin. It's about they all know they're a mess. You can make all kinds of rules, but here's the second thing, and I'm done. You can pursue and love the Lord the way He deserves. You see, I love Sunday school, and it's what Sunday school is all about for me. And And I feel so charged and recharged with Sunday school. And Todd, it has nothing to do with you. It's the material. It's God's Word. And I know that, but I worry. I mean, I am loving Sunday school because it's exactly what I need. And it's a bit telling that your pastor needs this. I need to be so focused and so charged and so excited about Jesus Christ and His gospel that nothing else is interesting. You see, that's the message today. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You understand this? If I want to be effective for Christ, loving God. If I want to be ineffective for Christ, love the world. It doesn't mean deep, dark sin. It just means this. I really don't want to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I wonder why. I think it's the world. Why do you think most churches are going to one service anymore? It's not because they did a survey and found out that holiness increased with the fewer times that God's people met and worshiped together. It wasn't because the less you are in God's Word, the better you live. It wasn't. It was because they couldn't get anybody to come on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I wonder why. I wonder why the football games start at 4:30 on Sunday night. Our attendance is lower when the Bengals play out west. I love the Bengals being terrible. It's one of the greatest blessings for preachers in Greater Cincinnati. It's a bummer that they're any good anymore. Thankfully, we have the Reds. They never let us down. But I want you to know this. I'm not beating you up for not coming on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I'm not. Why don't you want to come? I've just got so much going on. If you got $1 million every Sunday night and Wednesday night that you came, you might find a way until you had enough millions. And I would too. You know why? I love money more than I love God's ways. I'm not saying churches are bad. I'm just telling you, I get it. I've dealt with so many preachers. My heart breaks for preachers. You know why they cancel Sunday night and Wednesday night? They're discouraged. They're not bad men. I do love, and I think that's why Matthew 18 was written, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them also. I'm glad my wife comes every time we have a service. When she doesn't, it'll be a hard day. I just want you to know this. Here's what the Bible says. I'll finish with this. No man can serve two masters. For he will either love the one and hate the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. Will we love God? Will we serve Him? Here's what I want you to know. God is the God of hope. You may be convicted about your life thus far. You can't change yesterday. How about just seeking the Lord's face and saying, oh God, help me to love You the way You deserve. And I need to focus on You and everything else will be squeezed out. I love the old song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Two things today. Are you saved? Crowd this size, many that are lost. Second, are you satisfied? Then this message wasn't for you. Do you want to finish well? You want to finish well? Love God. Let's pray. Father, You're so good.